saw you.
During our last shiur, we explained the terms of avelus and aninus that are associated with the loss of a relative, and we said that those terms are also applicable to mourning over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. We explained that aninus represents the emotional reaction to the loss of a relative, and avelus represents the understanding that in fact the relative is no longer alive. At first, the surviving relative cannot fathom, he cannot understand that he has lost his relative. He feels the loss emotionally. And that is why Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal explains that an onen is not only potter, he's not only free from doing mitzvahs asay, but rather he is usser, he is prohibited from benching, from saying brachos, from davening, because since a powerful storm has come and extinguished, as we explained in the last shiur, the yellow part of the flame, which represents the chachma, the wisdom, which is represented by the yellow part of a flame, his understanding has been extinguished. He's living only with his blue part of the flame, his raw emotion. Such a person is prohibited from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After the internment takes place, then his seichel comes back, the yellow part of the flame comes back on top of the blue part, and then he is reconnected to his das, to his seichel. He understands that the loss has in fact taken place. Now that he is a complete human being with his nefesh and with his ruach, with his hergish and with his seichel, with his emotion and with his understanding, now he is obligated to serve Hashem as an ovel. That's what we explained in the last year. We ended the last year by asking two questions, and we will focus on one of those two questions in today's shiur. The question was that we find in the pasuk in Eichov, "Vayarev bevas Yehuda taniya vaniya," that the Targum Onkelos explains these words, "Vayarev bevas Yehuda," which means Hashem multiplied in the daughter of Yehuda, taniya vaniya. The Targum says this means avelusa vaninusa, that concerning the destruction of the Holy Temple, there was avelus and aninus. So here we see that the same words that are used in connection with losing a relative are used in connection with the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. The title of this year is The Similarities and Differences Between Mourning Over a Lost Relative and Mourning Over the Destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So here we see a similarity, that just like in the loss of a relative, we experience two parts, an onen and an ovel. As we explained, the onen doesn't have his das, his seichel. He only has his emotions, and an ovel has his seichel. So too, concerning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Targum is telling us we have the very same two stages, avelus and aninus. The question that we ended off last year was, but why does the Targum, and it's not only the Targum, it's a Targum explaining the Pasuk, why does the Pasuk of Eicha, written by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, put Avelusa before Aninusa? We know that when a person loses a relative, first comes Aninus, and then comes Avelus. And here, the Targum did it just the opposite. Vayarev bevasyuda, Taniya means Avelusa, and Taniya Vaniya, Aniya means Aninusa. Why is it just the opposite? I believe on this question there are two answers. The first answer I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Yaakov Moshe Kolevsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who became, following the patira of Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Halevi Ruderman, the first Rosh Yeshiva of my yeshiva, Yeshiva Sner Yisrael in Baltimore, and following the patira of Rav Yaakov Weinberg Zatzal, then Rav Yaakov Moshe Kolevsky became the Rosh HaYeshiva of Yeshiva Sner Yisrael. At the Levaya of Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Halevi Ruderman Zatzal, Rav Kolevsky said the following thought, that although there is a similarity between the loss of Churban and the loss of a relative, but there is a difference. In other words, by a relative, it goes aninus, avelus, then comes nechama, then comes comfort. Because once the person understands the loss, we can comfort him. If he's an onen, if he has misha meisoy mutolufonov, if he has the obligation to bury his dead, he's still in the state of aninus, emotional reaction. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that you should not comfort him. Va'alta nachameyu b'shoshe meisoy mutolufonov. At the time of the raw emotion, you should not go over to comfort. For example, when in a funeral home, there's a room where the family gathers. That's not a place to go over to the surviving relative and begin to speak comforting words. They will not be able to accept those comforting words because they are in the state of aninus at that time. It's before the kfura has taken place. So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, don't waste your time. Don't offer comforting words. Be quiet. When can you offer nechama? That's only when the avela starts. When the person's mind, his das, comes back. When he begins to understand the loss, not only to feel the loss, then you can begin to say comforting words to the avel. But to the onen, you cannot say any comforting words. So you have aninus, avelus. Avelus is followed by nechama. And then after 12 months, the Chazal say, meis nishtakech min alev. The mace is forgotten from the heart. Now what does that mean, that the mace is forgotten from the heart? We will, if we lost a father or a mother or a close relative, we will remember that for the rest of our lives. What does it mean it's forgotten? The answer is that Hashem gave us a special gift called Shikha, we forget. Because if we wouldn't have this gift of Shikha, we would not be able to survive. Both negatively and even positively. What does that mean, negatively and positively? Negatively means tsaris. If we would remember every bad thing that happened to us our whole life, we wouldn't be able to survive. Not only the tragic things that happened in our life, but when we were in the crib and our mother didn't give us a bottle right away and we felt upset, if we would carry around with us all the, when our bike broke, or all the things that happened to us our whole life which were upsetting to us at that time, we got into a car accident, whatever it may be, and we would, of course we remember it, but it's not at the top of our mind, it's in the back of our mind. That's called shikha. It means, not that we forgot it, if somebody asks us, did this and this happen to you, we'll remember that it happened. But it means it's not we're not obsessed by it. We're not thinking about it day and night. So up till 12 months, we're thinking constantly about the loss of our relative. After 12 months, Hashem made a gzera, a law, that a person begins to forget his, it goes back in the back of his mind. The same I heard from Rabbi Greenwald, who was my camp director in Camp Sternberg during the summer. He once said over from his Rebbe, which is Rav Elia Meir Bloch Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who said the same is true with happiness or jokes or things that make us laugh. If we would remember all the happy things that happened to us our whole life and all the things that made us laugh, every joke that we heard in our life, we would be walking around rolling from us. We would be on the floor in laughter. That's not normal either. We wouldn't be able to survive, just like we wouldn't be able to survive the bad things that happened to us in our life. Neither can we normally function if we'd be rolling on the floor because of all the jokes that we remember our whole life. So Hashem made shikha. Hashem made that we recall it. You know the famous joke that somebody said, you remember joke number 62? And the other person started laughing, and the other person says back, oh, you remember joke 31? In other words, of course we know the joke, we remember it, but it's not at the top of our mind. So the normal process of losing a relative is aninus, avelus, nechama, nichum, and then after 12 months, shikha, as we just explained it. By the Beis HaMikdash, it's different. This is what Reb Kalevsky wanted to say. By the Beis HaMikdash, it starts with aninus, and it goes to avelus, the same thing, but then the cycle starts all over. That's what the Targum means. Avelusa vaninusa. It doesn't mean it starts with Avelus, according to this pshat. It doesn't mean it starts with Avelus and goes to Aninus. It means the Avelus, of course, was preceded by Aninus. But you think that at that point you're going to have Necham and you're going to forget about it as you do by a lost relative. No. By the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it's a cycle. It's a never-ending cycle. We're emotionally involved, then we begin to understand why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because of our Averus, and we think into it, and hopefully we do tshuva, we try to become better in Shmiras HaLashon, Bein Adam LeChaveroi, but it doesn't end there. We go back to Aninus. What does that mean? It means, as Rabbi Kalevsky explained, by the way, this question of why Avelus comes before Aninus is from the Al Shech HaKadosh. Rav Kalevsky explained, there's a story in the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says that Rav, the great teacher called Rav, passed away, and his Talmidim went to the Levaya, and they were so close to their Rebbe, that they tore Kriya. The halacha is, if this is your Rebbe Muvok, if you learned, Rabbi Muvok means you learned most of your Torah from this person, then it's like a father. And just like when you tear Kriya on a father, so too you tear Kriya, you have to have this special close relationship. That they tore Kriya just as they would over a father. They came back from the Levaya with their torn clothes, and they sat down to eat something. And at the meal, when they were eating, they had a question. They didn't know about benching, something about benching. And they, at that point, the Gemara says, Rav just passed away, and we don't even know the answer to benching. So what did they do? They took their garment, it was like a robe, and they were able to turn the garment around, and they tore Kriya once again. What's the Gemara saying? They thought that they lost Rav for complicated questions, for very tough questions. But easy questions, they figured, okay, we could, at least easy things we could live without Rav. They came back from the Levaya, they sat down to eat. Right away there was a question, something about benching, and they didn't know the answer. If Rav would have been alive, they would have known the answer to the question. So there was a new dimension of Rav which they had never understood before. So they got emotionally involved. Oive, we can't even move a step without Rav. Not just the real tough questions that we have to go to Rav. The little everyday questions of benching, Birchas Hamazon, which you would think are not so complicated, we can't live without Rav. So that's what Rav meant to us. Even the little questions. I have a new loss. It's not just the loss that I had at the Levaya of the great questions of Rav. It was even the little questions. So that's a new loss of Rav. They got emotionally upset on Aninus. And as we explained in the other shiur, Kriya has to do with being upset emotionally. That's why you have a catharsis when you are emotionally involved. You tear, the psychologists believe that there's a help psychologically when a person does Kriya. So that's B'shas Chimum, as it's called, in the time of the heat, the hot passions, we tear Kriya. So they had Aninus again, they tore Kriya again, then they had another Avelus. So when Rabbi Lazar HaKaliri, who wrote many of the Kinnis on Tisha B'Av, we say this on Tisha B'Av, Al Churban Beis HaMikdash Ki Choras V'Chihudash Espoid b'chol shana uvishana misbeit chadosh al hakodesh val migdash. Each year, a new dirge, that's a kinna, will I sing for the destruction of the temple, for the holy temple and the holy of holies that were demolished and trampled on. In other words, Rabbi Lazar HaKaliri understood that when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not we mourn over it one time and then we're finished. Every year, a person who thinks into it, who has Avelusa, you realize every year a new idea comes to you, to the thinking person. That's what an Avel is, not emotional, but thinking. If you don't think, you won't come. But a thinking person who makes a hesped when you maspid something, a eulogy, so you have to think, what did this person mean? What did he represent? It's not just emotional crying, but thinking. So every year I'll make a new hesped because I realize every year I find a new dimension. Just like the Talmidim of Rav found a new dimension of what the loss of Rav was, and they tore a new Kriya, so too every year I will find, Oyvei, this year again the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. As the Chazal tell us, Kol Dor Shalai Nivna Beis HaMikdash B'Yamav, Ke'ilu Nechrav B'Yamav. Every generation of the Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt in its time. It's as if this Tisha B'Av, if Mashiach doesn't come before Tisha B'Av next week, it'll be as if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in Tavshin Samach Vav. So I realize every year a new dimension of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, which prompts me to make a new hesped. So that's what Chazal are saying. That's what the Targum is saying. Avelusa vaninusa. It's a never-ending circle. It's like the Talmidim of Rav, who after they went to the Levaya, they turned their garment around and made a new kriya, a new emotional response of aninus. So that's what the Targum means. Avelusa, followed by Aninusa, and this will again be followed by a new Avelus, and another Aninus, and another Avelus. It'll be never ending, because I will always find a new dimension of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. This is answer number one. And now I would like to say, and this is what, for many years, this Sefer that I'm quoting from, which I had the schus to write, Mourning Over Churban, I worked on in Camp Sternberg over the last 35 summers. Slow, a little bit each summer. And this is the way I approached this question for many years. And lately, the last 2-3 years, I began to look at it in a different way. And this is the second answer. And at the beginning of the Sefer, I have, it's called Avelusa Vaninusa, Mourning Over Churban Revisited. Because I want to suggest a different thought, and this is based on something that I saw in a sefer that was put out by the OU, by the Orthodox Union, and it's from Rabbi Soloveitchik, and it is called Out of the Whirlwind, and it is a sefer about mourning over a relative, mourning over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Soloveitchik suggests the following. We find in the Chazal that there's known as Avelus Yeshana and Avelus Chadasha. There's an old Avelus and a new Avelus. A new Avelus is Chas V'Shalom if somebody loses a relative. The old Avelus is the Avelus that we have for Churban Beis HaMikdash for 2,000 years. It's also called by another name. It's called Avelus the Yachid and Avelus the Rabbim. There's an Avelus that a person suffers himself, his own personal Avelus, and then there's an Avelus that the whole Klal Yisrael suffers. That's the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Avelus of the Tzibur of the Rabbim. Rabbi Soloveitchik points out a remarkable thing. When we speak about the loss of a relative, notice that things get easier as you go along. The sharpest point of pain when the person breaks down emotionally is aninus. Then comes the avelus. There's first is the shiva. And the shiva, we find what a person has to do during the 7 days of shiva following the internment of his lost relative. He has many difficult dinim to do. He has to sit on the floor, etc., etc. Then comes the shloshim. Things get easier. Then comes for a parent the Yud Beis Chodesh. It gets even easier. And finally, the end of the Avelus. By the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we find just the opposite. As we get closer to Tisha B'Av, it gets harder and harder. We start with the 3 weeks. Then we come to today, which is Rosh Chodesh Av, beginning of the 9 days. Then, and each period gets harder. The 9 days already, unless a person is dirty or sweated up, they're not allowed to take a shower or a bath, like an oval. We can't wear freshly laundered garments unless they were worn before, etc., etc. It gets harder. And this is an important halacha. We're not allowed to do laundry. And Chazal say, why are we not allowed to do laundry? Laundry in the olden times used to take a large part of a person's day. It wasn't that we turned on the washer and then we turned on the dryer and basically finished. No, you had to schlep the water from the river, and etc., etc. It was a very tedious process. Chazal say you're not allowed to do laundry during the 9 days. Your shaloi yasiach daitoy min avelis, that your mind should not be taken away from the avelis. During the 9 days, you're supposed to concentrate on the avelis of the Beis Hamikdash. And by getting busy with laundry, your mind is going to be distracted. You can't be busy with the laundry and at the same time think about the Churban Beis Hamikdash. This halach is very important to understand what we're going to explain right now. So we have the 3 weeks, we have the 9 days, then we have a thing called Shvua Shechal Boi Tisha B'Av. Since the 9 days is 9 days, it means it's not just 1 week, it laps over 2 weeks. It goes into 2 weeks. So there's the first week that we're in now, which is called the week where Tisha B'Av does not fall. Next week, starting Sunday, will be what's called Shvua Shechal Boi Tisha B'Av, the week in which Tisha B'Av falls. The week in which Tisha B'Av falls is harder than the previous week. There are dinim, there are things you're allowed to do the week before Tisha B'Av comes, this week, but you're not allowed to do it next week. Then comes Zayin Av. Zion of and on, for example, Rav Moshe Feinstein permits making a siyum during the 9 days. You can eat, but Rav Moshe, you can eat meat, but Rav Moshe says after Zion of, when they broke into the Beis Hamikdash, then you shouldn't make a siyum. Gets harder. Then what's next? Erev Tisha B'Av. Erev Tisha B'Av, you're not supposed to go on pleasure walks after Chatzos. You're already not supposed to learn Torah after Chatzos. And then the highest point, the climax of all the Avelis comes up till Tisha B'Av, up till Chatzos. After midday Chatzos, then it starts getting easier. For example, one halacha, there are many, but one halacha is you have to sit on the floor or on a bench that's less than 12 inches high till Chatzos. After Chatzos, you can sit on a regular chair. And then the entire Avelis period goes away at the 10th of Av at Chatzos. But what do we find? Going up till the climax, which is Chatzos on Tisha B'Av, as we get closer and closer, it gets harder and harder. So why is that, asked Rabbi Soloveitchik? By the Avelis of over a relative, as we move away from the loss, it gets easier and easier. And here, we find the opposite, that as we get closer to Tisha B'Av, it gets harder and harder. The answer, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, is because although there's similarities between the two, but there's a big difference. By avelis over a lost relative, the emotional reaction, which is the strongest, sharpest part of the whole process, you don't have to tell a person to feel it. Automatically, the person hears, or the person is chashom in the hospital room when his relative passes away. Nobody has to tell the person to cry. Automatically, the person starts crying. They feel so emotionally upset. And then comes, then there's a transition from the aninus to the avelis. But it's very powerful. The person's still reacting over what he experienced. So as you move further and further away from that sharp moment of the loss, it gets easier and easier until after 12 months, it goes away from your mind, as we explained. You have shikha, you're not thinking about it all the time. It's in the back of your mind. And since your loss gets easier, the dinim that are connected to the loss also get easier and easier. Whereas, by the loss over the Beis HaMikdash, our job is to come to the level that we feel the loss. We're going to, in the next year, speak a Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, why do we mourn 2,000 years after the Churban? We said that after 12 months you're supposed to forget. Says the Rashi says in Parshas Vayeshev, why did Yaakov mourn over Yosef 22 years after he was gone? Right? You're supposed to forget after 12 months. The answer is because Yosef was alive. When is the Gzeira, when is the law of Hashem that you forget? That's if the person is in fact has perished. But if you think the person died, but the person is really alive, then the way Hashem made it is that you will not forget. That's why Yaakov couldn't forget till for 22 years. Vayimoyin lesnachem, the pasuk says. He refused to be comforted. Why? Because Yosef was alive. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and we'll elaborate on this in the next shir, that kol amis abel al Yerushalayim, zoche v'roe b'simchasa. If you mourn over the loss of Yerushalayim, which we're going to explain in the next year, means you mourn over the achdus of Yerushalayim, the unity of the Jewish people that was lost because of sinas chinam, and you do tshuva, so not you will see in the happiness of Yerushalayim, zoche v'roe, you see it now. Yerushalayim is alive for you because you promote achdus in your community. You make your community have avas chinam, one Jew to another. So what? Even why do the Reformed Jews not mourn over Yerushalayim anymore? Because to them, everything about Yerushalayim is dead. If it's dead, you forget after 12 months. But if it's alive, then you can't stop. Mourning for 2,000 years because you're mourning over the wood and the gold and the silver of the Beis Hamikdash that was destroyed. Why are you still mourning over it? Because a part of it is alive. If a part of it's alive, then you're able to mourn. And since it's alive, so zolcha v'roa b'simchasa, you see now. In other words, for the point that we're making here is that the whole purpose of the 3 weeks is to get closer and closer to the moment, as Rabbi Soloveitchik explains, that we have a keynote that says, Balaylo hazeh, this night the Churban took place. We say it after Eicha. Balaylo hazeh, he says, Laylo hazeh means something that happened 2,000 years ago. And Balaylo Hazeh means as if it happened now. It's not just that I remember the Churban, that it was a historical footnote in the books. I could tell you what year the Holy Temple in Jerusalem got destroyed, but it has nothing to do with me. It's not alive. It's a historical footnote. No, it's alive. That Yerushalayim is alive, and I feel the loss as if the person who's alive has perished. There has to be something alive. If it's totally dead, then it'll be a historical footnote. How do I make this thing come alive? It's like I am experiencing it. So therefore, that's the idea. We can't do it in one shot. But first of all, you have to remember Yerushalayim a whole year, 12 months. You have to have facing your door when you come in. You have to have an amma by an amma on the opposite wall when you come in through the entrance, which is unpainted, unplastered. Not like some who have a gold made out of 14 karat gold, zeichel l'churban. That's not what you're supposed to do. Your multi-million dollar home is not finished if there's a destroyed Beis HaMikdash. So we had put ashes on the head of a chosen under the chuppah. Zecher to the Beis HaMikdash, im loy ales Yerushalayim al roish simchasi. So that's the pshat. How do I get to feel and the climax on Tisha B'Av at Chatzos? I have to build it up. I have to go from the 3 weeks to the 9 days. And I can't do laundry because my mind, my avelus, so what does avelus mean? Your mind. Your mind has to get stronger and stronger connected to the Churban until finally aninusa, until finally you feel the loss emotionally. As if the Chazal say that there was a Rav who ate Erev Tisha B'Av, the Suda Mafsekes, dry bread and water, and he thought in his mind as if his mace is lying in front of him. He was able to understand through his seichel. He finally got to the point by concentrating. That's why you can't do laundry. You can't be Masich Das. If you concentrate and you get, and you can't do it in one shot, but 3 weeks, 9 days, Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, we're getting closer and closer. We're thinking more and more about it. Finally, it's as if it happened now, that today, on Tisha B'Av, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It's alive. And in the being alive, it got destroyed. And I feel it. I feel as if the mace is mamish from me. So here it's just the opposite. Avelusa vaninusa. First starts the avelus thinking about it. And finally, through concentrating very strongly on it, I get to the aninus. It's the opposite of a mace. By a mace, I start emotional reaction right away, aninus, and then I think about it. By the churvan beis hamikdash, how do I remember 2,000 years? I have to make it come alive. How do I make as if the person just died and he's not buried yet? I have to think and I have to concentrate very strongly. And therefore it gets harder and harder and harder. And we concentrate more and more and more until finally, aninusa, we reach the point that we cry. Rabbi Chait, the Rashiv of Chavetz Chaim in Eretz Yisrael, says, in olden days, people used to cry. Today, people don't cry. Golus is very comfortable. We're comfortable here. In Eretz Yisrael now, it'll be easier for people to cry. Unfortunately, what's going on? We have it here in America. We don't cry. It's very hard for us to cry. The only way we can get to aninusa, to feel emotional about the churban, to cry, is if we start with avelusa. To concentrate stronger, 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 until finally we'll be zoche to cry over the Beis HaMikdash. Avelusa v'aninusa. We should be zoche, this Tisha B'Av, that we should in fact come to the level of crying over the churban. I think the next year will be next Tuesday, Mirtzah Hashem.